Hello, everyone. This is the CircuitPython weekly meeting for September 8th, 2025. It's a time of the week where we get together to talk about all things CircuitPython. And I will mention, since I did just call it a weekly meeting, we are still on our every 2 week schedule. So it's actually perhaps bi-weekly at this point. Every 2 weeks, we're doing this meeting right now. My name is Tim, and I am sponsored by Adafruit to work on CircuitPython. CircuitPython is a version of Python that's designed to run on tiny computers called microcontrollers. The development of CircuitPython is primarily sponsored by Adafruit, so if you would like to help support CircuitPython and Adafruit, consider purchasing hardware from their store at adafruit.com. This meeting gets hosted on the Adafruit Discord server, which you can join anytime by going to adafru.it/discord. We hold the meeting in the hashtag CircuitPythonDev text channel, and the CircuitPython voice channel there on Discord. This meeting typically happens on Mondays. Again, right now we're doing it every 2 weeks at 2 p.m. U.S. Eastern, 11 a.m. U.S. Pacific time, except when that coincides with a U.S. holiday. In the notes document which accompanies the meeting, there is a link to a calendar which you can view online or add to your favorite calendar app. In that calendar, it's got any holidays that impact the schedule listed. So if we end up having to bump to a Tuesday, it will be listed in that calendar. And we will also try to send out notifications to the CircuitPythonistas role on Discord. So if you would like to get notifications of when the meeting is going to be on a different day or time than usual, you can ask to be added to CircuitPythonistas role on Discord, which is the same one you need to speak in the meeting. There is a shared notes document that accompanies the meeting, as mentioned. You can contribute to the document beforehand. The final document includes timestamps to help you skip around the video or audio recordings, which get published. You can skip around using that document and the timestamps to view or listen to the parts of the meeting that are most pertinent or interesting or relevant to you. After each meeting, we post a link to the next week's meeting's notes document on CircuitPython Dev channel in the Adafruit Discord. That link is always in the top of the pinned messages in CircuitPython Dev channel. So if you're ever looking for the notes document for the upcoming meeting, you can always check those pinned messages in the CircuitPython Dev channel. It should be the top one there. We'll link out to the upcoming meeting. As a reminder, meeting gets held in five parts. First, we'll look at community news, a couple items from the CircuitPython Python on Microcontrollers newsletter. Then we will look at the state of CircuitPython, the libraries in Blinka, take a look at some of the stats for the repos involved in the project. Then we will move on to round robin sections, hug reports, followed by status updates. And we will finish it off within the weeds if we have any topics to discuss down there. And as a reminder, if anyone does have in the weeds topics or you think of them while we are doing the meeting, feel free to fill those in whenever you do think of it. That way, once we get down to that time of the meeting, we can just call on you and go instead of having to try to wait to see what is there. And with that, we we'll get started with community news. I will take the first timestamp and tell you about, the first item from community news this week, which is Vibe Coding Keyboard, which I thought was a pretty neat little project. This an 8-key Vibe Coding Keyboard. It uses the Adafruit KB2040 and CircuitPython. There are links here to X and the Adafruit blog. I thought this was a nice little simple project with an 8-button keyboard. There are a couple of other Vibe Coding feature links in the newsletter that went out today. So if you would like to see and read a couple of more Vibe Coding related things, there are a few others that went along with this, but the hardware on this caught my eye because I happened to just be thinking about an 8-button keyboard. In fact, just last night, it was for a totally different purpose, but then this caught my eye and I was like, I could totally probably reuse this for exactly what I was thinking of. So it's a neat little project. Next up, we have Starter Electronics with CircuitPython. The Raspberry Pi Official Magazine, issue number 157, highlights how to get started in electronics with Raspberry Pi, both on the Raspberry Pi 5 and the Raspberry Pi Pico 2W, using the same CircuitPython code. And there is a link here to the Adafruit blog if you would like to read more about that. And I believe the blog does link out to the Pi magazine as well, which is available online to subscribers. Next up, we have reviving a 1970s analog HP XY recorder with Python. Stephen Cass writes about reviving an old HP 7041A XY recorder with a Raspberry Pi Model B Plus 3. Using Adafruit DAX and Python scripts. There is a link here to the IEEE Spectrum website where this project was written up, and there is a nice quote from the original project as well. It says here, written, I believe, by Stephen Cass, writes, I wrote code on the Pi to put the plotter through its paces, using parametric equations written in CircuitPython to draw swirling, hypotrichoids, and other geometric curves. Ultimately, it should be possible to have the Pi accept and translate commands written in a plotter control language, such as HPGL. Then I'll be able to plot vector graphics and text from drawing software like Inkscape. It's a super cool little XY drawing robot here, and I was happy to see how much they used CircuitPython in their project. Really cool to see. Next up and last item from the newsletter this week that caught my eye was the MicroPython and LVGL 9.3. This was a link over to YouTube with a video where this person is working on creating a custom gauge for the MPU6050 in LVGL using MicroPython. And I thought this was a cool video. I haven't made it all the way through this specific video, but I happened to notice that the same person has loads of other MicroPython and LVGL related videos over on YouTube, including tutorials for building and all sorts of other stuff. So lots of great content if you are interested in MicroPython and or LVGL, which I am. So I have subscribed to this person, and we'll take a look at not only this video, but a bunch of their other ones I have queued up to check out as well. And with that, I will tell you a little bit more about where all of these items came from, which is the Python on Microcontrollers weekly newsletter, which is a CircuitPython community-run newsletter that gets emailed every Monday. The complete archives are available at adafruitdaily.com. It highlights the latest in Python on hardware-related news from around the web, including CircuitPython, Python, and MicroPython developments. If you'd like to contribute your own news or projects, you can edit next week's draft on GitHub, submitting a pull request with your changes. You could also email new projects or news items to cpnews@adafruit.com or tag a post with hashtag CircuitPython on Mastodon, Blue Sky, or X. And as always, hug report to Anne for curating all of these interesting links for us to look at and read each week. Next up is the state of CircuitPython, the libraries, and Blinka. This is a quantitative overview of the entire project. It gives us a chance to look at the health of the project separate from our status updates. First, we'll talk about overall stats that encompass all the different repos. Then we will break out and discuss the core, the libraries, and Blinka. So first up in the overall section this week, I'll take a timestamp here. We had 20 pull requests merged by 13 different authors. A couple of the names that were less familiar to my eye, so these might be newer or less frequent contributors, or it could just be their username happened to slip past my eye in the past. But a couple of those folks this week that I didn't recognize as being in these lists every single week were Alex OK, Gotham 103, Shubham 0x13, I think I've seen before, but not all the time. Mike Coates, Square Goldfish, Wiz Hannah, and Brandon Lane as well, I think I've seen before, but not all the time here. So thank you to those folks, again, who might be newer or less frequent contributors. Thank you to all of the other contributors we had this week as well, whose names I do happen to remember seeing on these lists a bit more frequently. We had 6 reviewers, thanks to them, Dan, Scott, Melissa, Lady Ada, and Liz. We had 11 issues closed by 7 different people, 8 new issues opened up by 7 people. With that, I will pass it over to Dan, if you are available to tell us about the core.
Sure. So in the core, over the past week, and this is a 2-week meeting, so it's not including stuff that was the week before, There were 7 pull requests merged by 5 authors, and there were 2 reviewers, Scott and me. There are now 28 open pull requests. We probably want to get that down to 1 page, which is 25 or less. There are a lot of drafts there that are kind of on hold for one reason or another. And in the past week, there were 6 issues closed by 5 people and 5 opened by 5 people. There are now 804 open issues for CircuitPython itself. There are 9 milestones. We mark issues with milestones. And hold on just a second. I have a, no, never mind. I have a service person outside, but he's doing something else. So there are 9 open issues for the 10.0 milestone that we want to close before or else move ahead, move to another release. For the 10.0 release, and we're kind of gradually peeling off issues, though new issues do appear. There are 3 open issues for just after 10.0. There are 74 issues we'd like to fix for sometime in 10, and there are 7 open issues for sometime in 11. Usually things that we have to wait on and we can't do in 10 for compatibility reasons, say. And there are 0 issues assigned a milestone, so we don't have any outstanding issues at the moment. And that's it for the core.
Alrighty. Thanks, Dan. Next up is the library section. This covers all of the Adafruit and community bundle libraries. There are currently, so we have them split up between the community libraries that are submitted by members of the community, of course, and then we have the Adafruit bundle, which has all of the Adafruit-sponsored libraries. Currently, there are 373 libraries in the Adafruit bundle and 168 in the community bundle, which is a total of 541 different libraries currently that support CircuitPython. Across the last week, and yeah, as Dan mentioned, it is a every 2-week meeting, so we actually do, we miss 7 days there. So just a note, if anyone did contribute in the 7 days prior to this week, you know, we do appreciate those contributions as well, although they aren't listed here currently. But in library land, for the last 7 days, we did have 10 pull requests merged by 7 different authors. I read off the names before of folks who were newer, less frequent, or less... that I hadn't seen before, basically, or hadn't seen very frequently, so I'll skip those for now. In libraries, we had 5 reviewers, thanks to Dan, Scott, Lady Ada, Liz, and myself. We had, in terms of pull requests that were merged, they were basically all on the brand new side, 1 day old, and then remaining open, so pull requests that we still have open now, 53 across all of the Adafruit libraries. The oldest one is a draft that is getting up there at 1,117 days. The newest one is 2 days old currently. Issues-wise, we had 4 issues closed by 2 different people, 2 new issues opened up by 2 people, and that leaves us with 738 issues open total, and there are 2 of those that are labeled good first issues, which you can find listed over at circuitpython.org/contributing. Which is the website where you should head if you would like to get involved in CircuitPython project. When you first load that page, what you'll see is a list of open PRs for the libraries, the Adafruit bundle libraries. These are waiting for someone who's interested in reviewing the PR. You can go through that list, find something that's interesting to you or that you've got the hardware for or some knowledge about, click through to GitHub, take a look at the proposed change, review it for syntax, spelling, logic, anything like that. If you do have the hardware, you can try out that version of the library using some of the example code. Once you have done those things, you can leave a comment on GitHub letting us know how it went, if you were able to try it out, letting us know what you found when you looked over the code, if there's anything you think that should be done differently or is problematic. If you get comfortable with that process and would like to be leveled up to leave, you know, official reviews over on GitHub, we can work with you for that, although the comments are just as helpful. If you would like to start submitting some of your own proposed changes on that same page I mentioned before, circuitpython.org/contributing. You click the issues navigation link near the top. It will take you to the issues page, which is a similar looking list of links over to GitHub, but these ones represent issues. They're waiting for a person to actually propose a change to resolve that issue. So if you would like to submit some of your own code, this would be the place to do it. You could look for the good first issues if you'd like. There's a drop down that lets you filter on that page. And it's kind of a similar process. Look through there, find something that is interesting to you or that you've got the hardware for, especially if you're going to be submitting a PR, having the hardware to test is very helpful. Click through to GitHub, read about what the issue is, whether it's fixing a bug or adding a new feature or a new example or enhancement or something like that. And once you are ready, you can submit a PR with the change to resolve that issue. We do have a learn guide for contributing to CircuitPython and the related projects using Git and GitHub. We also have folks who are around throughout the week on Discord who are more than happy to help you get spun up. So if you are trying to review or contribute your own PRs and you're having trouble with any part of the process, whether it's Git or GitHub or pre-commit or any of the other things that we use, please feel free to come say hi on Discord. Let us know what you're up to. Let us know what kind of trouble you're having. We'd be happy to help you out. New libraries over the last 7 days. We have the MLX 90632. Excuse me, over in the community bundle as well. We have the AT42Q T2120. I'm not sure what driver that is for, but new driver over in the community bundle as well this week. And with that, I will move over to the Blinka section. So next up is Blinka. Blinka is our compatibility layer for CircuitPython to run on single board computers like the Raspberry Pi. Across all of the Blinka libraries this week, we had three pull requests merged by two different authors, thanks to Melissa and Gotham103. We had two reviewers, thanks to Melissa and Lady Ada. There are currently 13 open pull requests. Issues-wise, over the past 7 days, there's one issue closed by one person, one new issue opened up by one person, and there are 131 open issues currently in the Blinka repo, and we are currently supporting 165 different boards with Adafruit Blinka. And that is it for that. So next up, we will get... Oops. Oh, I see what I did there. Okay. Had my cursor in the wrong spot here. Next up, I will fix the timestamp, and we will get started with Hug Reports. As a reminder, Hug Reports is a chance to highlight folks in the CircuitPython community and beyond for doing awesome things. I will start, then we'll go down the list of Hug Reports alphabetically or as they appear in the notes doc. If you are text only or missing the meeting, then I will read the notes for you when we get to your section. Otherwise, I'll call on you and you can feel free to tell us what you've got. So I will start us off. Thanks to Scott for looking into the HSTX display blinking issue on the Fruit Jam and finding some fixes for that that really improved the situation there. Lots of Fruit Jam projects are going to benefit greatly from that. So I really appreciate Scott working on that. Next up, a hug report for GitHub user Maholi. For submitting a spy version of the register, like RWBit, RWBits, all of those helper classes. This was actually submitted a while ago, a couple years back, to the register library, and it went through a process of moving over to its own library. It never got finished up fully, but I really appreciate this person submitting it. I've taken a look at it now, and it was very helpful for something I did this week. And honorable mention, I would say, honorable mention Hug Reports, thanks to Jerry and Scott as well for some very enlightening discussions that were on the issues and related PRs and issues that were related to this library. Some very good details in there as well. And then lastly for me, thanks to SuperMath101 and Mark Gambler, both for sharing some resources on how to use a Raspberry Pi Pico as a logic analyzer with me during a live stream. Next up is Anecdata, who is text only. Anecdata says, hug reports for Dan for the fix and lots of digging on the LWIP interrupt issue. And another hug report for, JBRELWAF. I didn't know how to pronounce that, but that's the name there, for discussions on async, sockets, and the rest. And next up is Dan.
Okay, thanks to Anecdata, Bablock B, and G. Sexton, who was testing a fix for PicoW network crashes. And there was a lot of very thorough testing, which shows it's a partial fix. It's good enough in some instances, but there should be more work done. So thanks, folks.
All right. Thank you, Dan. Next up is Scott, who's text only. Scott has a hug report for me, a foamy guy, for leading the work on the Fruit Jam OS. And next up after that is Todd Bott, who's text only. So I'll read again. Todd Bott says a hug report for Sam Blenny for all the work on USB host and the TLV320 DAC. And another hug report for Dan H for and everyone else on the recent CircuitPy releases, CircuitPython releases. Right, and that is it for hug reports. Next up, we will get into status updates. This is our time to tell folks what we're up to individually. And again, I'll start, then we'll go through the list as they appear in the notes doc. When I call on you, you can take a couple minutes, tell us what you've been up to in the last couple of weeks since the last meeting, and what you'll be up to until the next meeting. If a discussion becomes too long for status updates, we can always move it down to in the weeds if we need to have a more involved discussion. So I will take a timestamp and kick it off. Over the past couple of weeks, I did the learn guide for the Spelljam app on the Fruit Jam. It's like a sort of a take on the Speak and Say, old school electronic toy. You can type a word into it and then it will pronounce it for you and then read the spelling and pronounce it again. So the guide is live for that now. I wrote the driver and a learn guide for the BMP5XX breakouts. So that guide is also live now as well, and the driver library has been added to the bundle. So if you've got those new breakouts from the store, you're looking to use it with CircuitPython, that is now in the bundle. After the I2C version of that driver was done, the next thing I did was revisit this register spy class, or classes, I should say, this library that was submitted a while ago. It was never finished up. We didn't have working examples and stuff. I actually did look into this before, but at the time I didn't have the knowledge necessary to actually figure out what to do with it, how to test it, that sort of stuff. But in the interim, I have learned quite a bit, and with fresher eyes now, a lot more of this makes sense to me. So I took a stab at using this library to make a spy version of the BMP5XX driver. And I was successful at getting a working driver. There is still some sort of integration and API work to do to make it so that it's sort of drop-in replaceable with the other one. Right now, there's still some copy-pasted code that we would not ultimately want to have. But it was really cool to be able to get an actual working driver with that. And then the last thing I have here is I've been testing out some LLMs, some local LLMs that run on the Raspberry Pi. And I am working on a guide that will document the setup and a couple of the different ones that can work on Raspberry Pis. The newer ones, probably Pi 4 and Pi 5 especially, as well as similar hardware. So check if the learn guide system for that coming soon if you are interested. Next up is Dan H.
Okay, so more than a week ago, I released CircuitPython 10.0 Beta 3. To just catch up on things, there were a number of kind of important fixes in there, especially to get video working well on the Fruit Jam. So there was a fixed, there was a timing fix, which was very helpful, which made it work on more monitors. So now we can have a numbered named a named release for Fruit Jam. And I recently fixed a regression that started in 9.25. This is what I was talking about in hug reports. Regression that caused PicoW to crash more frequently when there were high-frequency web requests and maybe other things going on at the same time, like various I/O, interrupt-driven I/O. What happened is that in 9.25, we changed to dynamic storage allocation in LWIP, which is the low-level network stack. And it makes the network a lot faster, but we have to be careful about making sure that we don't try to allocate storage, that there aren't cases where a storage allocation is going on and then there's an interrupt and another storage allocation starts at the same time. So we have to serialize the storage allocations. So I released this fix and released it as CircuitPython 9.29 because there was someone who was shipping a bunch of CircuitPython boards to a place where there's no internet and they wanted to have a stable release that had this fix in it. That's the reason for 9.29. But the fix doesn't work completely right, and so there's still some crashes. So it's quite a bit better, but it's not perfect, so I'll have to work on that some more. And then otherwise, I'm just working more on more 10.0 bugs. That's it.
All right. Thank you, Dan. And next up, and rounding out the status updates for this week, is Scott, who I will read. Scott says, fixed the DVI blanking during SPI transactions and during PIO transactions. The root issue is that DMAing from PSRAM can hang the DMA and block other transfers like DVI. So we don't do that. SPI will use the CPU to run the transaction. PO will copy from PSRAM to internal RAM before DMAing. And then Scott also mentions here mostly email and reviews for the last couple of weeks, as well as upcoming. Scott's going to work on getting back into ESP IDF 5.5 update. He switched it over to 5.5.1, and then we'll continue on with debugging that. And that is it for status updates. We do not currently have any topics for In the Weeds, but this is where we would discuss any longer form topics if we had any. So I will move us right along to the wrap-up instead. All right, so thanks, everyone. This has been the CircuitPython Weekly Meeting for September 8th, 2025. Thank you to everyone who participated. If you would like to help support Adafruit and CircuitPython, and those of us that work on CircuitPython, consider purchasing from the Adafruit shop at adafruit.com. The video of this meeting will get released on YouTube at youtube.com/Adafruit, and the podcast will be made available on major podcast services. It will also get featured in the Python for Microcontrollers newsletter, which you can visit adafruitdaily.com in order to subscribe to that. The next meeting is going to be September 22nd. That's 2 weeks from today. September 22nd, we will be at the usual time of 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific. On September 22nd. The meeting, as always, will be held on the Adafruit Discord, which you can join by going to adafru.it/discord. If you would like to get notified of upcoming changes or just upcoming meetings in general, you can ask to be added to the CircuitPythonistas role on Discord. So that is all for now. We hope to see you all in 2 weeks, and thanks again to everyone who participated.